Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. A lot of twos in that number.
Yeah.
In that date. We found out we as Americans are drinking a lot of liquor.
Yes, sirree. Just like around Prohibition time. Apparently, we were drinking a lot just before they made it illegal.
Yep.
And we're almost at that tipping point again.
They say the days leading up to the Prohibition, which were back in the 1910s, that people were basically drinking about just 2 gallons of alcohol per year on average.
Okay.
These days, we're drinking 2.3 gallons per year.
All right.
And that breaks down to nearly 500 drinks, or about 9 per week.
9 per week. That's pretty good little toot there. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty good. Interestingly enough, though, that the Prohibition was just a little over 100 years ago. It actually started and was repealed 13 years later.
Yeah. Wow.
Coffee makers are full of crud, and this is going to creep you out. When's the last time you actually cleaned the water tank inside your coffee maker?
Well, somebody had the temerity to actually test that water, and apparently it's full of germs.
Yep, they found pretty much 50% of the sampled reservoirs in coffee makers had either mold or yeast in it, which means it's probably not only affecting your coffee, but it could be making you sick.
Exactly.
They say you should always empty out the unused water in your reservoir and leave the lid off so it can dry. Perhaps you have one of those Keurig or one of those little pod machines. You might want to clean out the area you put the little pod in. When's the last time you cleaned that out?
That's right.
Especially if it's a shared machine in the office. Mm-hmm. They say that that's where a lot of the germs can be found. Good news is most of the germs, the ones that will hurt you, will be killed with the heat. But, again, don't take chances. These are the days you're most likely to call in sick from work. What do you think it would be?
You know, it was interesting. Last year, I couldn't believe the number one day for people to call in sick last year. What was it?
It was the day after Christmas.
Yeah, but that since Christmas was on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then Thursday, I think people are just trying to sneak a couple extra days, maybe get a longer weekend right there.
Yeah, maybe. And you got to admit, I mean, it does stink having holidays in the middle of the week because you can't really relax and enjoy the moment.
That's right.
Because you always have the back of your head. You got to go there. But what they found was that Mondays, by far, 20% of all people calling in sick were found to happen on a Monday. On the flip side, Friday, the least popular work day of the work week to call in sick. As for the 10 sickest days of 2019, they really fall around the holidays. Number one, as we had mentioned, the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Number two on the list was the day after Easter.
See, that's weird to me.
Which is a Monday.
Yeah, you would think it would be New Year's Eve.
Yeah, the day after New Year's Day, on the second, is actually number three on the list.
Yeah, that was a Thursday this year.
The Monday after Mother's Day, number four on the list. And then check this one out here. Independence Day last year fell on a Wednesday.
Right.
But it was the Monday after Independence Day that people called in sick, the fifth biggest day of the year.
All right. That's I don't understand why, but okay.
Yeah, there you go. This was interesting because I have noticed that people sometimes, I've noticed, people here, and even to my, I just thought about this here, I've had a plastic cup that I use for water each and every day. So I've used it so long that there used to be a Gator logo there.
The logo's worn off of it,
But I use it all the time, and I should actually get rid of it.
Well, I mean, if you clean it with, like, hot soapy water, it's one thing. But if you just have, like, a single-use plastic bottle and you keep filling it up and filling it up, you're not doing yourself any favors because don't just think about the germs.
Mm.
They tested over 250 bottles.
Yeah.
And what was it, like 90% of them had plastic pieces in it.
Yeah, tiny pieces of plastic.
Tiny pieces of plastic.
Because the single-use little plastic water bottles is an example. They're meant to be used one time, so they're not really built durably.
Yeah.
So when they get little creases or dings or dents, it's actually kind of giving the water more opportunity to leach in all the chemicals that are bad for you. They can affect...
It's the pieces of plastic that really bother me. I mean, little micro pieces of plastic. That's why I don't use sea salt anymore. I use Himalayan salt because it's mined underground.
Yeah.
Over 90% of all the sea salt samples have plastic pieces in them now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Who knows what's going to happen to us in the next few years? But the bottom line is, if you really want to be a hero to both the environment and your body, ditch plastic bottles altogether and instead grab a stainless steel or a glass bottle, which is very nice.
And here's something I was guilty of. You asked the question, do you store batteries in your junk drawer? I'm going, of course I store batteries in my junk drawer.
That's where they go. Who doesn't do that?
But when you think it through, it's not a smart idea. It could cause fires if a piece of metal in there completes a circuit of the two poles on the battery.
Yeah.
Right? It's that simple.
And because it's a junk drawer, what's floating around there? Maybe a key to something you don't know that opens, some coins, some paper clips, and all that stuff. So they do say your best bet is to keep them in the package, the original packaging. But if you can't, may want to take a little piece of masking tape, duct tape, or electrical tape, and tape one of the ends together so that you are insulating it from
making a circuit. Yeah, right. At least insulate it, right.
And then finally, we learned of Catherine Hughes, who is an artiste, apparently took the cue of going to the CVS, buying a pack of gum, and realizing she got a receipt 250 feet long. She actually has pointed her own business on Etsy. She makes scarves that look like the CVS receipt.
See, that's perfect, I think.
They measure 58 inches long, 10 inches wide. They look like the real thing. She even puts coupons on the receipt, like 15% off with $50 purchase or 30% off deodorant. Yeah. Even an extra buck is on there.
You can see it on our website, ktki95.com. Congratulations. She's very creative.
I love it. Sells for $20, too.
Pop culture comes to life.
And there is our show for today, Wednesday, January 22nd. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK.
Remember, the sun is always shining.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.